Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
The following podcast may contain discussions supported by science that may be considered dangerous to some listeners and conspiracy theorists. Discretion is advised.
The Three Down Greencast is brought to you by Lucky Bastard Distillers, Saskatchewan's premier distillery, and by the Pilot Bowens Brewing Company, brewed in the heart of Regina.
Welcome to the Three Down Greencast. You are listening to the internet's only John Still Mad podcast. I am Joel Gasson with John Fraser, as usual. Don't let that laugh fool you. We will get to the Grey Cup later in this episode.
There is pain behind that laughter. And even a week later, and it's funny, in our preamble.
It's almost stewing. It's like it's been in a slow cooker all week, just waiting and waiting and waiting.
Well, one of our seven listeners, Dave, came by with his gift of four Zach Kolaris oopsies, which, by the way, that is an all-time troll job to show up with four turnovers at a guy's workplace. Like, Dave was, like, the favorite person at his Toyota that day. Like, because everybody I work with is like, Dave comes by with the four turnovers that he called oopsies. And our new car sales manager and one of our senior sales guys they're both big Ryder fans. And they saw that and just died laughing. So kudos to you, Dave. But yeah, no, don't let the laughter fool you. I am still very, very angry.
Yeah, we meant to record sooner, but things came up. My usual post-Grey Cup sickness when I'm there kicked in a little bit. It's still not fully gone, but we will power through for the sake of letting John finally get this off his chest before he just spontaneously combusts like on the episode of South Park.
Yeah, we're actually, it's funny, as I was going through all the numbers I did, because apparently now when I'm angry, I do spreadsheets. Yeah, still full of rage. We are near spontaneous combustion.
Yeah. So we will, of course, get into that a little later. A little bit of rider news to get on as well. A couple of some names in the coaching carousel right now. So Jeremy O'Day met with the media on the way out before the end of this sort of calendar year for them, this season for them, before they turn and look towards 2025. And so we'll get into that in a little bit more. But something's going on the internet lately.
Yes.
So I guess we're going to call this a little bit of podcast business, I suppose, as we open the show today. Because quite frankly, I don't really have anything off the top of my head, and we discussed this before the show even started, that is ridiculous enough to worth talking about. We could really get into the Big 12 tiebreaker scenarios if we wanted to, but I think most of our listenership would get lost in the weeds on that one.
That's a little too inside baseball-y for the seven of you.
We'll keep that between me, you, and Plaster. We'll keep talking about that. It's complicated, but it's fun and it's chaotic. Essentially, about half the conference still has a chance to win the title, which makes it the best conference in college football.
Yes, by a mile.
By a mile. So if you haven't been paying attention because you're not that online, congratulations. Your life must be incredible. And I mean that. That's not sarcastic. There's been a migration of sorts going on over the last, I don't know, couple of weeks. People ditching Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it, for Blue Sky. Same kind of idea, like short form, text-based, share your thoughts, talk about stuff sort of platform. I joined it a while ago when they were still waitlisting people. They eventually sent me an invite and I got on there. Didn't really do with much for a while. Just kind of parked my account. It's like I did in a couple of places just in case something kind of took off as a Twitter alternative. And over the last couple
threads, we all thought it was going to be Threads. And now
I never actually jumped on the Threads train because I think someone jumped on it early and I asked, well, how is it? And they're like, it's awful. So I was okay, I'm just not going to bother with that one. I didn't.
It's like Instagram without the advertising. The algorithm has like I mean, I'm fairly complicated with the algorithm, but I mean, if you give me like 90s, 2000s wrestling, barbecue, drinks, and pretty women to look at, I'm generally pretty happy. And football, of course, and all things football. The algorithm never really quite got me on Threads.
Fair enough. And I've heard that's just a, basically it's Instagram without pictures, and that's basically, well, what's the point to that point?
Exactly.
So Blue Sky's taking off. I have decided, I have not fully decided when I'm going to ditch Twitter, but it is probably coming at some point in time that I can't determine at this point. It's kind of going to when it feel like it's just more natural to be there, and it's kind of getting there. So yeah. If you do like following me online, like I'll still post links and, you know, the important stuff to Twitter if that's where you are for now. But sort of thoughts, if you care about what I think about anything, will kind of be moving over to Blue Sky. I kind of started with it at the Grey Cup just as like a trial run to see how I felt about it. And I think it was basically fine. I think I got more or less sort of the same level of engagement I normally got, but with, you know, a fraction of the people following me at the moment. So I think I'm going to stick there. It seems it's everything's fun. It's like it's old school Twitter. It feels fun again. And I know there's lots of talk about, and I'm sure some people may even comment towards us about us. Like, it's not about the echo chamber. This isn't right. about keeping, you know, certain political thoughts off the internet or anything like that, or out of my bubble. I mean, number one, all social media is an echo chamber, so just yes. get over it. Number two, and I can't really relate to this as a white cis male. Basically, when I say something on the internet, people leave me alone.
That's fair. Yeah.
There are a number of people in our society, whether they be women, trans, you know, LGBTQ, whatever. Basically anything they say is this complete bombardment of trolls and bots and just some of the worst garbage you will ever see on the internet. And, you can actually do something about that on Blue Sky. So it's not to say that this stuff won't make its way there. It for sure will. But the mechanisms actually exist to do something about it. And the company appears to be very proactive about it as well. So for everyone's sake, quite frankly, for a lot of, you know, for any of our listeners, any of our readership that does not want to put up with that anymore, I am on their side for that regard, because again, my experience on social media, I know, is very different from a lot of people's.
Yes.
And I can understand that and decide that I'm not going to be part of a platform that essentially encourages such behavior.
Well, and the thing, the shift too, and I mean, you're right. I'm like you. I acknowledge everything's an echo chamber and things like that. But like the rules to change that I can now see tweets from people I blocked. I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm going to be on a platform, I don't have to see what Michael Ball is saying. I will prefer that. So so we'll go with that. We're both on there. I'm slowly getting more active. I'm just kind of getting my followers up. But of course, for myself, especially through lacrosse season, as I know, I have a bit of following over on Twix, whatever you want to call it, I am still going to be there at least through the NLL season. So, but yeah, go find us there. Same usernames. It's all good. And actually,
mine is a little different. I dropped the underscore 21 just to make it little simpler.
You finally got to get rid of your 21.
Yeah, because I made my Twitter account a long time ago when it was like just a personal account. So it was like, oh, here's my name and my favorite number kind of thing, right? And then
that's right.
And I mean, I could have done it on Twitter a long time ago, and I know some people have kind of merged that over, but when I signed up for Blue Sky, like, it wasn't liking the underscore 21 or some weird, like, I don't know. It was giving me errors. So I'm just like, screw it. I'm just going to go with Jake Gasson now.
that's fair. I've got, it's still Fraser PXP, which thankfully I've managed to secure everywhere. Just be glad though, that like your original, personal one wasn't like, I love hot chicks with an X 21.
I did initially set it up with the same name as my Xbox gamer profile. But then I did eventually change that kind of once I got more into media. So
that's fair. It, mostly because you don't want people finding you. Like, could you imagine if you're like playing some Halo one night and somebody who doesn't like your opinions on Zach Kolaris all of a sudden's in your lobby going, "Hey, Zach's the greatest."
Well, luckily I don't really play with a mic, and if I do, it's with friends and we're in our parties and it's a private party, so they're not going to get the way to talk to me that way anyway. So.
Oh man, I can trust you. The Zach Kolaris defenders will find you, Joel Gasson.
Oh, I know.
And they will hunt you down.
Absolutely. Yeah, we will get into that. Other piece of podcast business before we go. No definitive timeline on it yet. It's going to kind of depend on how the next 2 weeks go for the Riders, if there's anything worth talking about. As you may know, throughout the off season, we're not necessarily every week. We kind of try to aim for every 2 weeks, but certainly no promises on any sort of actual set schedule. But we do try to record at the absolute bare minimum at least once a month during the off season. But
mostly so Lucky Bastard still gives us free booze.
Yeah, and we do. I think our goal is generally try to hit every 2 weeks, but you know. Stuff happens.
Any of the seven of you that have been around for a while know what it's like. For any newcomers, we're a little sporadic in the off season. I mean, we managed to survive on this pod talking about nothing through COVID. So.
I mean, we had nothing else to do, so we were like, I think by then we were doing like almost weekly episodes just for the hell of it.
Exactly. Yeah, because we literally had nothing else to do. It's like, hey, we're both staying at home, so we might as well podcast, right? So
yeah. So in that regard, sometime obviously before Christmas. Which will make sense in a second here. We are going to run back the Ask John Anything Holiday Edition.
Yes.
We debuted this last year. I thought it ended up going over pretty well. So we're going to push a little harder this year. So we're going to give you at least a couple of weeks, maybe more, to sort of gather your thoughts and ask John anything holiday related. Now, it doesn't have, like, the theme of the episode will generally be Christmas holiday, you know, whatever you want to ask, but as is the spirit of the show, feel free to ask anything you want in general as well. It doesn't have to be holiday related, but holiday related questions would be preferred.
And Bryce from LB, if you're listening, I will need a double order this month because we double or triple fist that episode there. So yeah, get your questions out there. Dave, Jock, Greg, Bryce, looking at you four, along with the other three of you that listen regularly.
Mm-hmm. So keep your ears out for that. Is that a question? I mean, we'll be putting this out on social media a fair bit, too, to make sure you get your questions in as well. Lots of questions surrounding the Winnipeg Blue Bombers right now after another loss in the Grey Cup, their third in a row. We will get into that and more. But as always, for the Pile of Bones Brewing Company, John, what's in the glass this week?
Double fisting. And I'm sure this comes as nobody's surprise. I busted out as the snow has fallen here in Saskatchewan quite intensely. I've gone from vodka season to whiskey season, busted out my drink smoker. So I've got a smoked, I wouldn't even call it an old fashioned because I went to go make one and I ran out of Lucky Bastard bitters. So I do need to get some of those. It's more just like whiskey, orange, simple syrup, and smoke. It's quite delicious. And of course, a POB Space Cadet IPA, which I still have left over from last Sunday.
Wow.
When things happened.
That's impressive for you.
Yeah, well, thankfully, my friends that came over for the game, my good friend Jay Richards, Mike Tornopolsky, Skipper Luke, Jay Price, all left booze at the house. So I've been destroying. If you guys were expecting to have that at like men's spiel, Jay and Luke, you're shit out of luck. Sorry, Jay. But
I think they knew that.
No, they know if you.
I mean, if the spiel was next week, maybe they would have thought that, but not like 2 months from now. No.
And plus, again, our sponsors are awesome to us. Come men's spiel's time between Pile of Bones and Lucky Bastards. So yeah, we're doing a double fist tonight on a Sunday night where my body aches from shoveling, but yet I am untethered and my rage knows no bounds.
So angry you can't even speak.
I know. That's. And again, like I said to you in the preamble, I've had a pretty good day. Yeah, mm-hmm. We got a dump of snow, right? But you know what? I managed to watch. I watched a lot of football. The kids were all behaved. I had some fun outside with the kids, digging tunnels, making an igloo. One of those magical things. I even had a nap today. And as a parent, you know, if you get a nap in, it's an even better day. So I had a great day. And then when I sat down here and started doing my prep, yeah, the rage came back. So that is just boiling up under the surface and causing me to forget how to say words.
Fair enough. For me, kind of taking it easy post Grey Cup, which I tend to do because Grey Cup gets a little interesting.
no, really?
And plus sort of the sickness thing, I'm actually drinking a Dry Guy from Multinational. It's their non-alcoholic beer. And it's fairly tasty. A little light, but got a little bit of a sort of citrus kick to it, a little bit of a hoppy kick to it. But yeah, it's drinkable. It's good.
Fantastic. Yeah, because one of the texts I got from you that made me basically go, okay, I think I might need to give up competitive curling and go to Winnipeg Grey Cup next year was I'm at the media lounge and there's Fat Tug on tap.
Yeah, so that's where the bar where the party was at. They had Fat Tug on tap. Yeah. Oh, no, fantastic. I wouldn't expect that in Winnipeg, but
They Trans Canada's out there. They make some good product.
They do. And it'll be a good time for sure. There is some rider news, so we will get into the Grey Cup, no question, which was a good time for anyone but the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But before we get to that, of course, rider news, nothing earth-shattering, obviously, going on in Saskatchewan right now. I assume over the next little bit, probably starting this week, you know, some things will start to fall into place as contracts in drawers that have been signed over the last month kind of start to make their way out as the sort of keep yourself in the news daily sort of, or at least every second day kind of cycle begins for this team, as they are quite good at doing that, no question about it.
As you need to be in the nothing season, really.
Yeah, absolutely. They signed basically most of the practice roster back, plus another new guy. Okay, nothing that all that mind-blowing there. Some interesting news from, of course, Justin Dunk this past week. Mark Mueller, the offensive coordinator, is apparently he was requested permission from the BC Lions to talk to that one. That was a report out of Vancouver for that one. And the Dunk reporting that the Ottawa Redblacks interviewed a defensive backs coach, Joshua Bell, for their defensive coordinator job. Nothing too, I think, surprising there. I don't think, you know, I think people maybe get a little tense about that right now, but, you know, interviews and requests to speak to guys doesn't necessarily mean that they are in, like, oh, these guys are on the track to be hired. You would hope that these teams that are looking to fill these jobs, especially head coaching job, would be talking to a lot of guys. Yes. And I don't think it would surprise anyone if either of these guys end up in those roles eventually. I think especially Joshua Bell, his reputation around the league right now, I think, is very strong. Going from Calgary to Toronto and now Saskatchewan in the same, you know, sort of DB's role and getting a lot of good, you know, a lot of good play out of his groups and a lot of effort and just generally nothing but praise from players that he has coached. Like, guys have followed him from team to team to team. That's how much they love playing for him. So I would not be surprised, maybe not this year, but probably the year after, it would not surprise me to see Joshua Bell as a defensive coordinator in this league. And quite frankly, probably one day a head coach in this league.
Did you know there's actually a Joshua Bell who's an American violinist and conductor?
I did not.
Apparently when you got to Google Josh Bell for football, you got to put in gridiron football in there as well.
Or CFL or something. Yeah. I did not. That's pretty impressive that he can play the violin and drive trains.
That's right. No, you're right. I would not be surprised. I mean, it seems a natural progression, right? I mean, it even said he's got lots of stats here on his bio. He's coached 9 all-star defensive backs. The guy's really only been a coach for 5 years, so highly likable guy. I think you and I are both in agreement. You're going to see him become a defensive coordinator and then probably one day a head coach to the Corey Mace mold. So it seems like this year, a lot of teams, though, are, and this is why Rider fans, the panic button should be at 0. Teams are casting a wide net. They're talking to a lot of guys, even like Winnipeg, in anticipation of maybe losing Buck Pierce to a head coaching job, has, you know, asked permission to talk to Jordan McSimmick from BC. So teams seem to be more prepared to lose a guy than they have been in previous years. So everybody's casting.
There was a lot of discussion during Grey Cup week amongst the media horde about how busy the week after Grey Cup was going to be, and it didn't really materialize like I think a lot of people thought it would. So maybe some more conversations are still going on as we thought. And, you know, I think Mark Mueller, I obviously don't know the guy that well. I think the guy has the potential to be a head coach.
Yes.
I'm not necessarily maybe as convinced that he's going to be a great head coach. He very well could, but he gives off more Buck Pierce vibes to me than Corey Mace vibes. Yes. So his rise to that position might not be as fast and as strong and as like obvious. Okay, this guy is a great head coach and he should be that. It's gonna take time for him to prove it, I think, a little bit. So I think we're probably a little ways off before having to, you know, the discussion about Mark Mueller no longer being the offensive coordinator of this team. I mean, unless this team just absolutely lights the world on fire next year on offense.
No, certainly. And again, it's a feather in the cap to the team to show that, you know, guys are getting interviews for these kind of positions. It shows that
no question. Yeah.
you know, like we've said, the coaching staff is good, but a little inexperienced at times this year. You want your guys to be considered for those roles. You don't want to lose them to those roles, but
you want it out there that it's like, hey, you know, if you're a younger coach, if you're a guy thinking of retiring or you're a younger coach somewhere, it's like, hey, just keep in mind, you know, we're leaking out right now that, you know, our guys are being interviewed, even if they don't necessarily have a chance. Know that people want our guys and people may want you one day, right?
And what does that say about TSN leaking out that Paul Apolis is interested in a head coaching gig?
I'm not 100% convinced that came from TSN. I have absolutely no idea where that actually came from. That was the thing that was discussed out of Vancouver, I believe, is Mo, you know, the real Moj there saying it. And it was like, okay, I mean, head coach in BC, like I could see offensive coordinator maybe. To me, that whole Paul Apolis is sort of in the circle of candidates here is an agent trying to keep his name in sort of the coaching circles a bit.
Certainly.
That's how I feel anyway.
Great coordinator.
Yep.
Just hasn't lived up, is one of those guys that can't turn it on to be a head coach. And I hope that's not the situation with, and it might be the situation with Buck Pierce. I don't know about Buck Pierce personally.
I kind of feel that way, but I mean, it's impossible to know until a guy tries, right? So the guy has to try before we can prove it one way or the other, right? So
and you and I are certainly not in that locker room, nor are we players in the CFL, nor do we know anything about that.
No, heavens no.
We're basically basing it off of vibes.
Yep. And it is an interesting, like, of all the, like, if this is the year Buck Pierce does become a head coach and, like, the signs and most people have sort of thought he'd become the head coach of the BC Lions, out of all the years he's kind of been linked to potential jobs, it is kind of the most interesting year for that to happen, given sort of the way the Grey Cup went and the general state of the offense in Winnipeg over the last year. It's interesting.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes,
and I'm not. It's not necessarily coaching. Like I fully agree. There's other factors at play in that for sure. But it's interesting.
Yeah, because John's got numbers.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy O'Day also met with the media this week to discuss the year that was, a little bit to the year ahead. Nothing too egregious, outrageous that came out of that. He talked about how, yeah, you know, obviously you want to win the Grey Cup every year, but it was certainly, you know, a building block kind of year for the team. As they sort of, you know, righted the ship, took a step in the right direction. Nothing affirmative on Trevor Harris. You know, they were, quote unquote, hadn't started the process of evaluating guys, which I don't believe. But anyway, I'm fairly certain they know whether they want Trevor Harris back at this point. The question is whether Trevor Harris wants back or not as well. So there's still talks to be had there, whatever, that's fine. The only sort of real interesting, well, a couple of interesting things. Number one, O'Day wasn't entirely sure if the Riders are going to be under sort of the first floor of the salary management system or the luxury tax, the salary cap, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Because, you know, they did have a number of injuries this year and a lot of guys didn't spend the full time on the six or any time on the six during those injuries. So, like, I think if the Riders are over, it's not going to be a stupid amount.
No, it'll be the dollar for dollar fine. There aren't any risk.
And like, I'm thinking like not even, you know, probably not even 10 grand, right? Like that's probably that small of a different sort of thing.
It's not like this is a 2013 year where all the chips are in the middle that they said.
And they're not going to be BC Lions open where there's people openly talking about loss of draft picks there. So
yes. all to lose in the West semi.
Yeah. So that sort of came out. And also, he was asked by the Leader Post, Taylor Shire, of course, someone was going to ask the question about Vernon Adams Jr., who is going to be on the market, is currently on the market, as the BC Lions have said, they will trade him, but they won't take his thoughts into consideration about where he wants to go, which I don't know if that's actually true or not. I do not blame the Lions for saying that publicly, because if you say, well, yeah, we're going to trade VA to where he wants to be traded, suddenly your entire leverage, whatever leverage you have, which I don't think is much right now, quite frankly,
no,
given the number of teams who will actually be looking for a quarterback, is gone. So, of course, they're going to come out and say, you know, we'll trade him to, we'll do what's best for the team, is essentially sort of what they said, right? Which they are in their right to do, and they very well could be doing that. But publicly, I understand why they wouldn't come out and say, "Oh yeah, we're gonna listen to what Vernon Adams wants in this." But
because you can't.
No,
in his spot.
No, like if they came around and said Nathan Rourke's on the table, then perhaps you take into that consideration a little bit. If he was, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot, and Nathan Rourke's on the table, you're probably gonna get a lot of interest from teams who currently already have a quarterback as well. So then maybe you consider Nathan's thoughts a little bit in that scenario.
Certainly.
Anyway, basically O'Day said that he had not talked to the BC Lions at all yet. Which yes. You can read he made it sound like he wasn't going to be picking up the phone, but if they called, you know, who knows?
Well, and I think that might be the smart move by O'Day, because let's boil it down here. Now that Chad Kelly's expected to be back, Davis Alexander's taking over in Montreal from all reports. Bo Levi Mitchell just had an MOP caliber season. Like, realistically, your trade partners are Edmonton and Calgary at this point. Right.
Which, so, and if, I mean, it may only be Calgary, not even just because of Trey Ford, but I mean, hypothetically, you know, the reports are suggesting that, you know, Rick Campbell may end up in Edmonton. There's a chance Jordan Maksimek may come with him. If you're Vernon Adams Jr., do you want to walk back into that? I mean, no. It worked well for a year and a bit, but that I think after the last, you know, the way this season ended, you're probably not necessarily the biggest Rick Campbell fan right now. Now, unless that decision was taken out of his hands, if it came from above, then okay, maybe.
Well, and they would know that, right? Yep. But I mean, either way, so if you're Jeremy O'Day, you have a chance now to kind of wait it out, right? Mm. If he is traded to Edmonton, then all of a sudden the question of Trey Ford's availability becomes, you know, apparent, because if they run it back with Trevor Harris is going to be a good quarterback next year. Yep. Maybe the year after, question mark.
I think you're pretty much living year to year with the guy at this point. So
yeah, and that is not the worst thing in the world, right? No. You know, you're going to need a capable backup to fill in for the couple games when Trevor's hurt, as that has been kind of the trend. But Trevor Harris will get you through next year, and if you know, maybe you put some pieces around him, maybe he can be a bit more explosive when it matters, right? So. Unless you can, so maybe you wait it out and Trey Ford becomes available. You go and get Trey Ford to play behind Trevor Harris / with Trevor Harris this year, and then your quarterback's set for the next few years. And even if Calgary goes out and gets him, then, you know, and maybe it's because I've been watching NFL all day, where I see the resurgence of Sam Darnold, I see the resurgence of, you know, Baker Mayfield, that maybe I think that just maybe, with his old OC, that maybe if Vernon Adams goes to Calgary, that, you know, Jake Mayer could maybe be revived in Saskatchewan as a backup quarterback. I don't know, right? But I think if you're Jeremy O'Day, the price tag to get, you know, if Vernon Adams traded Edmonton, the price tag to get Trey Ford's going to be next to nothing, and the price tag to get
Trey's going to be a free agent. And he's going to be free agent, and he said he's only going to sign somewhere where he can compete for a number one job. So
it could be Saskatchewan.
It could be Saskatchewan, or he's probably, I mean, Hamilton feels potential. Like, he could go back that way, I think, because I think as good as a year Bo Levi Mitchell had, I mean, they're still, you know, they still tried to bench him for Taylor Powell.
They did, yes.
Right? So, I mean, not entirely sure Scott Milanovic is entirely sold on that going forward. That's a possibility. But, yeah, like, likely Trey Ford is probably looking at whoever doesn't get VA in Alberta.
Right, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, so, like, I Saskatchewan's an option. Winnipeg would be an interesting option, I think, for him.
It should be the option. Oh, my God, it should be the option.
For reasons. And, I mean, you could take a flyer on the BC Lions in case Nathan Rourke doesn't get back to form.
Drinking and driving is a decision that could change your whole world. Things will never be the same if you ever get a DUI. Because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way that your world can be turned upside down. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You can face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one that can face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive can permanently impact not just your world, but someone else's world as well. Whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's fair,
right?
That's like that. Fair.
Like everyone's just assuming that Nathan's going to be great next year. And I'm kind of wondering. Like I expect with a full camp, and you know everything involved with their system, that's probably going to change. You would expect that he would be better. I don't know if he will necessarily ever be the first Nathan Rourke we ever saw in this league, but he should be better. But what if he's not?
Right? But I mean, the dude also went through six playbooks, right?
No,
but,
I know.
But
again, I know. No question. No question.
If you're trying forward, you go Jonathan Jennings to BC on a one-year show-me contract. Yep. Why not?
Yeah.
Right? You win the job there. You can ask for all of the money from multiple teams. Because let's face it, I feel like this is a bad offseason to be a CFL quarterback.
Like, because the backup carousel will move around, and if you're like projected to be a backup, you'll be fine. But yeah, like starting jobs aren't really out there right now.
No, but I feel like a year after they will be, like, because Trevor Harris is going to be like,
no, it's going to happen like again. Like every few years in this league, the carousel hits and it hits hard, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't feel like Bo Levi Mitchell, although he had a great season, has a ton left. I'm about to tell you why Zach Collaros has nothing left.
I mean, Montreal is an interesting option too, because it sounds like they're going to go with Davis Alexander.
Yes, from everything that we've read and been told, and
which
heard
is probably no disrespect to Cody, is probably the right move. But I mean, there's no guarantees that he's actually going to flush himself out and be a starting quarterback, right? So,
no, certainly.
I think there's an option there. I think Drew Brown is pretty established in Ottawa. I don't think he proved himself this year. You're obviously not surpassing Chad Kelly.
No.
Though he would be a savior in Toronto for a lot of reasons. But anyway.
And again, and we'll get into this with my Grey Cup rant, but did it just seem like Toronto gave more of a shit with Nick Arbuckle at quarterback than they did with Chad Kelly at any point this year?
No.
I don't think so. Maybe I'm reading into it. But like, they
were great in the playoffs. Like there was, and like when Chad broke his leg in that East final, there were players like visibly upset on the field.
Okay, fair.
So I think just, as much as we wanted that narrative to sort of play out, that there was divisions in the locker room, there may have been, but probably not as pronounced as we once thought.
Right. I'm just trying to will it into existence because Chad enough, Kelly is not a good person. So that's
I understand,
fair.
I understand. One guy who I think who is, you know, sort of considered a good person is, of course, Winnipeg Blue Bombers quarterback Zach Collaros.
Yes. Which is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. The Grey Cup has passed. It's been about basically a week, almost to the hour, that the Grey Cup ended. The Toronto Argonauts won, I believe, their 19th in franchise history in a game that very few gave them the chance. I picked Winnipeg to cover the spread in that game just because I had to in order to try to beat Ben Grant in that spot. And so in that case, I had to pick Winnipeg to win the game. Because it would be weird to say, well, I think Toronto's actually going to win, but I'm going to pick Winnipeg to cover the spread just in case. I don't think JC would have allowed me to do that. But I just had this sneaking suspicion all week. Like, I kind of bought into some of the stuff I was hearing about Winnipeg that, you know, they felt ready. It was very much a business trip. This was, you know, they were more locked in than any other game before. They knew that if they lost this game, it would be like a huge knock on sort of their reputation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I was always just like, yeah, but Toronto plays really well against Winnipeg. And I just kind of had that gut in my feeling all week. And I know it's easy for me to say after the fact, but that was like, yeah, I'm like, I know Nick Arbuckle's Nick Arbuckle. And he played, granted, far better than I think anyone expected him to. But I had this feeling in my gut that I'm like, Toronto might win this game. Like the first time these teams met 2 years ago, I think legitimately no one really gave Toronto a chance, probably for pretty good reasons. This time around, I'm like, no, you're not going to fully fool me again.
I would have 100% put all of my money on Toronto covering the spread for multiple reasons. But the spread was huge.
So, I mean, a championship game is unlikely to be covered by the favorites by more than 10 points.
But I didn't buy into the narrative either that, you know, oh, Nick Arbuckle's like Ryan Dinwiddie. No, Ryan Dinwiddie made his first career start in the Grey Cup.
Entirely. Like, it would be like, had they put, who's the other kid? Bryant or whatever his name is. If they had to put him in that game, then that's a different scenario, right?
Oh, 100%. Completely different. But like, Nick Arbuckle's a veteran. You knew he was going to come out. There were some poise, and Nick Arbuckle had been there before. Now,
before we get into it, like, the game itself, yes. And we're going to get into Zach. I think it's fair to get into Zach because for three quarters of that game, everyone remembers what happens in the fourth, and we'll get into the fourth quarter. But for the first three quarters, the guy had only thrown for like 100 yards too. So let's not brush over the first three quarters as, oh, he was only bad because of his finger. No, he was bad. He was bad all game. He was bad all game.
The finger's not an excuse.
He was bad and got worse because of the finger. But the finger situation. Go on.
Like I got about six texts, including one from you that said bad Zach's here tonight.
Yeah, you could tell pretty early.
Actually, one of my friends who was over was like, we were up 10 when we were up at halftime. I'm like, we're not winning. He's like, you need to stop your negativity, or I'm going to punch you in the head. Right. And I don't have a violent friend group, but like, no. I had that feeling. I've seen this story before. I've seen this story in the postseason before. I've seen this story in the regular season.
All postseason, Toronto was down at the half and came back to win. And then none of the other leagues were huge, obviously, but this is what they've done. And Toronto
looked like the better football team.
Yeah. To me, well, I mean, Toronto should have been up at the half. They were clearly the better team in the first half. And to me, the key moment, the actual key moment, the finger, there's the interceptions, the pick six, like there's all sorts of things that happen in this game, but low key, sort of the biggest moment to me in that football game that allowed the Toronto Argonauts to stay in it was the bomber drive after they were up 7-3. So the Argos strike first with a field goal. Winnipeg eventually comes back, scores a touchdown. They force a 2-and-out. I believe it's in the first quarter.
Yes.
And Winnipeg's driving again. They're driving and driving. Like, this back-to-back real easy drives, and you're like, I'm like, okay, if Winnipeg scores a touchdown here, this route is on.
Yes.
And instead, Toronto buckled down. They got the stop. They forced the field goal, make it 10-3, and I was like, okay, game on. Like, that was that moment. If Winnipeg scores that touchdown right there, I believe they go on to win easily and they cover the spread. But Winnipeg got that stop. And Toronto got that stop. And that just sort of opened the door for, you know, Toronto to hang around for the first half.
I don't think they win that game even if they score there. And the reason I say that is, for whatever reason, the coaching staff, and they've seemingly done this, and I've ranted about this on this very podcast here at the beginning of the season. It's like they keep giving Zach the ball no matter how well Brady is doing, right? It's almost like you're like, yeah, we got to get Zach Kolaris going. We got to get him going. So you keep feeding him the ball when Brady Oliveira is averaging 8 yards a touch. Like, at one point, I remember looking at the guys in my basement going, why don't they just go single wing and just let Brady run the ball? Because Brady Oliveira was running the ball all over them. And you have, you know, the alleged number one player in the CFL with 9 completions. 9 completions. 13 if you count the 40 of the other team. But I just, Winnipeg's defense showed up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I think with like a 10-ish point lead that they, maybe they don't cover the spread, but I think they handle business from there on out and win.
Well,
because we know that Winnipeg is sort of that front running team. So if they get a good enough lead, they're hard to come back on.
Right, but it just seemed to me like, I don't know if this was Mike O'Shea, if this was Buck Pierce, or whoever was in charge of this. It was like the prerogative was to give Zach the ball and not Brady.
They never had control of the game. When they have control of the game is when they're at their best. So they didn't get it. So they kept trying to do dumb things rather than doing what they do well.
Right, which is run the ball down people's throats. You look at the Grey Cup they won in 2019, you know, handedly, that was they ran the ball down people's throats, right? Like, it just, to me, it just made no sense why on earth you're averaging, you know, 7-8 yards a touch by Brady, even though, and Mike O'Shea came out and said, while they were stacking the box against Brady, like, you gave the guy 11 carries, he had 84 yards. Sorry, not 8. I'm rounding up to 8 at 7.6. Like, as much as I am about to present the case, and I feel like I'm a lawyer tonight, because I've gathered the evidence, and Joel Gass and I want to present to you the case tonight, that if the Bombers had a replacement-level quarterback, they'd have at least 4, maybe 5 Grey Cups. And I have the evidence to prove that if Zach and Cody had in fact switched places, which is maybe one of my most scalding takes that people constantly have come at me at for. If Cody Fajardo is on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, they win 5 Grey Cups. I'm here to prove those tonight. Is this my moment?
I mean, five straights may be a stretch, but more for sure.
Oh, they win 4. Because
I will say the butterfly effect of what happens with the other team, you never know, right? But yes, go on.
Right. But again, the basis of my argument is the Grey Cups they've lost are within not only a score, but a field goal.
Yeah.
They lost within a field goal to Toronto. They lost within a field goal to Montreal, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Numbers time. This is going to be a very numbers heavy episode. I've put these out here before. Okay. I took every playoff performance of the last since 2021, when the Bombers started losing Grey Cups. And I calculated the average math. The average quarterback in the CFL playoffs puts up 67% completion percentage, 275 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Okay. There is one game where Zach Collaros is above any of those numbers. It was this year's West Final against Saskatchewan. Right? Saskatchewan had a bad game. Okay? Then you're going to say, well, butterfly effect, John. What about the defense? Since 2022, only 6 playoff games have been lost by a team giving up 380 yards or less. You want to know what these games are, Joel?
Sure.
Because I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
The 2024 Grey Cup. Winnipeg lost, giving up less than 380 yards. The 2024 West Semi. Weird the two were in 2024 and there was no really other factors. The 2023 Grey Cup. Winnipeg lost, giving up less than 380 yards. There was two in 2023 as well. One being the 2023 West Final, which was played in a snowstorm. The 2023 East Final, which Chad Kelly had the worst game ever and basically gave Montreal automatic field position. The other one, the 2022 Grey Cup. Are we seeing a trend? There's a trend here. Okay. So to me, if the Winnipeg Blue Bombers would have, say, the day the playoffs start, said, thank you, Zach, for your regular season and put in Nick Arbuckle. We can all agree that Nick Arbuckle or Jake Mayer are average quarterbacks in this league. They win 4 Grey Cups. I get it. It's butterfly effect. It's football.
Maybe Arbuckle. I don't know about Jake Mayer. He makes some really dumb decisions sometimes.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. But I mean, like, just think of your replacement level quarterback in the CFL. Like, I want to bring out Michael Bishop here or Kevin Glenn, right? Like, if Kevin Glenn was a decade older and he was Winnipeg's quarterback, they would have won 4 Grey Cups. And the only reason I am sitting here saying 4 instead of 5 is, I get there's butterfly effects. It's a real stretch to say they would have won 5 when Toronto just absolutely hammered them. Okay? Another argument that I have been roasted for thoroughly on social media. Again, sorry, this is going to be stats heavy. Joel Gass, I'm going to give you 2 quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback 1 since 2021 regular season. 71% completion percentage, 3,320 yards, 15 touchdowns, 10 interceptions per season, with 360 yards rushing and 4.5 touchdowns. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback 2 since 2021, regular season. 74% completion percentage, 3,989 yards per season, 26 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 89 yards rushing, 0.5 rushing touchdowns a season. Who's quarterback 1? Who's quarterback 2?
Well, I'm guessing quarterback 1 is Zach.
No, quarterback 2 is Zach.
Oh.
Quarterback 1 is Cody Fajardo.
Okay. I thought the worst numbers were in 1, but anyway. Okay, yeah.
Right. The numbers, okay, I will admit, we're talking 600 yards less per game, which over a 18-game season is basically about 40 yards. Okay. But we're also talking a lot more rushing yards with a similar touchdown to interception ratio. So Zach does have a decent regular season. He has a good, very good regular season, but even Cody and Cody's brought down by the fact he had two bad years in with some very bad Saskatchewan Roughrider teams, right?
And missed like half this season.
Exactly. So the averages aren't that far apart for a guy that's played on a CFL team that has been dominant over that time period versus a guy that's bounced around a bit. Okay. In their last six postseason games, quarterback one, 66.4% completion percentage, 209 yards, 0.8 touchdown passes per game, 1.2 interceptions per game, and 3.3 rushing yards per game. Quarterback two, 69% completion percentage, 243 passing yards, 1.83 touchdown passes, 1.5 interceptions per game, 46 rushing yards, and 0.2 rushing TDs per game. Again, name me quarterback one, quarterback two.
Quarterback one is Zach. Quarterback two is Cody.
Cody Fajardo, in his playoff career, has always performed above the average expected performance for a quarterback, which means had Zach and Cody flip places way back in 2021, which a whole bunch of you gave me shit for on social media, Winnipeg's got four. I could make a case for five, but then I'd sound like a lunatic. Not that I don't sound like a lunatic right now. Zach Kolaris is the problem in Winnipeg. Coaching is part of the problem. But you can tell the coaches are like, they cater to Zach. Well, Zach's not going. He's only got nine. It's almost like he's so bad when it comes to the playoffs that they feel the need to get him going. Like this is the second half of the second preseason game against Saskatchewan. Instead, it is just them in the Grey Cup going, we need to get our guy going. He had nine completions. Don't give me the finger. The finger is a fluke accident. It sucked. The fact that Mike O'Shea, I will not fault Mike O'Shea for putting Zach Kolaris back in for the first interception. Zach's a gamer. He said he wanted to go. Okay, I'm going to go play this. And his head coach listened to him. The second he floated that one, I would have gone to Wilson. But again, you didn't have a capable backup quarterback because guess what? You paid Zach Kolaris $650,000 this year.
And signed a guy who can't throw a football as your actual backup.
Exactly.
And then he got hurt. Yeah.
The Toronto Argonauts paid, you know, $500,000 this year for Chad Kelly. I get it. He was suspended. His salary didn't count against the cap. So they were able to bring in Nick Arbuckle, who is a very much replacement level quarterback. Now, those stats I just gave you. So Cody Fajardo this year was what, $300,000? $350,000?
I think it went up, but I don't remember exactly. Right. It goes in the fours maybe now.
Let's even call it four. Fuck, even if it's 450. Let's give Cody $450,000 a year. For that, for $200,000 more, you got 600 more yards per season, which roughly translates to about 40 per game. You got some more touchdown passes. But again, the argument is, Cody Fajardo has never had a real running back with him. Stand back, eh. Anybody in Montreal this year, eh. The guys he had in Saskatchewan, definitely, eh. Zach Kolaris could only put up 600 more passing yards per season with Hall of Fame running backs behind him. And yet he's worth $650,000. $275,000 of that next year guaranteed. Despite the fact he's done nothing but poop his pants in the biggest games of the year. And people go, well, Zach Kolaris was the reason Winnipeg started winning. I'm going to go back in time. Let's jump in our DeLorean right now, Joel Gasson.
Sure.
With 18 games of Matt Nichols in 2017, we all forget Winnipeg was 12-6. The following year, 2018, jumping ahead in time, my DeLorean's malfunctioning. 10-8, that's with Matt Nichols missing four games. Winnipeg Blue Bombers were 7-2 when Matt Nichols went down. Has Matt Nichols played a down of professional football since essentially going, 29-10-16? Has Matt Nichols played a down of professional football since going 29-16?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Nah, he hasn't. but yet you're paying Zach Collaros $650,000 a year to embarrass you in the Grey Cup. And having his voodoo effect over the coaching staff that we got to get Zach going. You don't have to get Zach going. Zach's not a good quarterback. You need to stop pretending he is. Especially when the lights are on, when the lights shine brightest, right? The other thing, too. Every person on this football team has taken less money to stay in Winnipeg. Willie Jefferson had a resurgent season. Adam Big Hill might have held on a year too long. He wasn't great this year, but still, he took less money. Sergio Castillo, arguably one of their candidates for MVP this year, as the guy was just making 50-plus yarders look easy in Canadian elements. Took less money to stay in Winnipeg, and took less money to stay in Winnipeg again as he re-signed recently. But you have Zach going out and, give me $650,000. To the point that the team felt necessary to go out and sign Chris Trevler, who, again, as you said, can't throw a football. Which means, in a league with a $5.5 million salary cap, you're spending $1 million on quarterbacks. And getting less performance than the average, and less performance than Cody Fajardo, who, even at $500,000, if Cody somehow got there, would be the better option. If... I know our 7 listeners typically agree with me, and I know a lot of people don't agree with me on social media or agree with me when they hear this podcast. But I think it's unequivocal proof after this Grey Cup that if Zach and Cody switch places, which everybody said I was stupid for saying, Winnipeg wins 4 Grey Cups, the record doesn't change, and they're a better football team. They are legitimately a dynasty with Cody Fajardo, and yet you still have Zach Collaros holding them back, and you're going to watch Zach Collaros holding them back once again next year, when they make the West Final in Winnipeg ahead of a Winnipeg Grey Cup, because you know they're going to spend past the salary cap to get there, and Zach's going to let you down again. When you should just go single wing, old school Iowa football with Brady Oliveira. I rest my case.
I mean, Cody's going to be on the market probably, so I would argue they should go over and sign him.
Oh my God, how great would it be? 18 games of Zach, playoff start, Cody, you're the guy.
I don't think you can quite do it that harshly. I don't think that'd be fair to Cody. You probably got it. You got to get him in the regular season a bit, but I don't disagree with anything you said. Like I know you and I are on the same page of this when it comes to Zach Collaros.
And I'm glad that we've opened eyes, because even like people just look at quarterback wins, and I know you've spoken to people in the football media, and I will admit the discourse this year from everybody was like, yeah, Zach's good, but... And that's, like, the first year I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you were... Mostly you being at the Grey Cup and pointing out to many respected media members going, hey, I know John's a little crazy, but I don't think he's wrong. Has kind of helped our case.
Yeah. So. Anyway, I do think, though, like, this specific Grey Cup, and I know meta, big picture, the whole thing, Zach's a thing. There's no question about it. I do think the coaching staff really has to wear it in this one in Winnipeg, though, for the reason you said. Like, I question even putting him out there for the first pass. Like, I know Zach Collaros obviously wants to play. I get it.
Yeah.
But part of a coach's job is to tell a guy no when it's for the better of the team. And I think any other injury to Zach Collaros in that game, except maybe a concussion for obvious reasons,
right?
He goes back out there. But when literally the most important finger on your hand and you can't feel the football at all, sorry, if you're a quarterback, like you can't go out there. It's like people who make fun of, you know, starting pitchers because they have a blister on their finger not playing. Right. It's like, well, yeah, it's because they literally cannot throw the football right now without tremendous pain.
Right.
So I think that's a scenario where Mike's got to be better and he's got to say, sorry, like I know, I get it. But if we want to win this game, we need a quarterback who can feel the football in his hand. No, and you can go out there, we can question the play calling and all that after the fact, absolutely. But, I mean, Mike O'Shea kind of has a history of this now. Like, this is the most egregious example, but, I mean, last year, he put in, you know, Adam Big Hill and Dalton Schoen in the Grey Cup, yes, for guys who were well below 100% for that game and had no business plan. I believe Adam Big Hill even got burned in that game on a play.
He did on a couple. Adam Big Hill looked, and Big Hill is one of the people I respect the most, mm-hmm, for his off-field endeavors, right? Like, Big Hill and Colin Hodgson know each other really well, and the amount of shit that Big Hill does behind the scenes in Winnipeg, like, it's remarkable.
But when you're talking about winning a football game, especially a championship football game, sorry, sometimes a tough decision has to be made. And I know Mike said, oh, if it was a regular season game, he wouldn't have gone back out there. It's like, okay, but he still can't feel the football.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a pretty important part of being a quarterback.
Anybody that's ever thrown a football knows that your index finger and your throwing hand is the most important, probably the most important body part.
Yeah, his shoulder's a little sore, his knee's a little banged up, you know, his other hand is sore, he's, you know, got, I don't know, a broken arm in his other arm, even. Fine, whatever, go back out there. You can probably
even
make
if he's
it
got,
work.
Like, the quad bruise, remember the famous quad bruise from Brett Favre when he played for the Vikings against the New Orleans Saints? Like, you can be as hurt as you want, but again, it's the feel, it's the touch. That is, like you said, outside of your brain and a concussion and probably your throwing index finger, those are, like, even if it was a pinky, a ring finger, anything like that, you can get away with throwing a football. You can't get away with throwing a football with it cut open, like, sliced open to the point it needs stitches.
And so they could see the inside of it. Like, this didn't sound like your sort of, like, paper cut kind of thing.
No, this isn't a blister. Like, the guy's finger was sliced open. You could see his bone. You could see his meat underneath it there, right? And again, I know he was 0-for-3, and this, again, I might sound like a bit of a lunatic, but Terry Wilson, to me, made the right decisions, right?
I mean, his first one should have been picked.
Yes. The one in the end zone was a great athletic play to break it up. He had, but again, with a quarterback, you're looking for the right decisions just as much as you're looking for him to make the throws.
No question. Yep.
Right. He came in at a big spot. He kind of gagged his first one. Absolutely should have been picked. He's unprepared. I get it. But like the one he threw into the end zone, that should have been a touchdown pass. That Toronto defender.
It was coming back on penalty, but yeah.
Right. But that Toronto defender that leaps up into the air to break that pass up.
Or, especially on first down, hey, why not, you know, at least maybe run a screen to Brady Oliveira or something?
Or again.
Run the football?
Yeah, you ran the football 11 times.
Yeah. Like, so I think this specific Grey Cup, and I in my post-game column, I was very harsh on Zach, and I'm not backing off from any of that completely, but as I've sat back and reflected more on this game, I think this one sits far more at the feet of Mike O'Shea and Buck Pierce than it does Zach Kolaris at the end of the day. Zach's still a part of it. It doesn't excuse his play through three quarters, but after that, it was still, you know, even after the first pick six, it was still a one-score game. Mike had a chance to pull this thing out of the fire, and he didn't do it.
No. And Mike O'Shea is the best friend that you want. The guy that is loyal to you, ride or die, will give the shirt off the back and stick behind you no matter what dumb shit you do. But sometimes he needs to realize he's not Zach's best friend. He's his coach. And again, with average level quarterback play, I think they win 4 with a coach that has the cojones to make the big coaching decision and act like a coach. Maybe they win 5.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.